House Joint Resolution 16, it simply changes a little bit, not by total number, but by distribution of where the signatures will be gathered from. It just changes the process of initiative petition a bit in the state of Missouri, and part of that is to reflect the fact that we've had a change in our number of congressional districts from 9 down to 8, and it puts us in a position to have a little bit more even distribution throughout the state of where the signatures are gathered from. Mr. President, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them. Otherwise, I renew my motion.
Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire from the Senator on the 26th.
Senator from Franklin, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. Now, this has to do with gathering signatures for initiative petition?
It does.
Exactly how does it improve the current process now? Can you kind of walk me through this?
Okay. Let me try. I don't know if you've ever had a bill come up a little sooner than you thought it was going to, Senator, but that's where I seem to find myself right now.
Okay. Well, take your time. And I should forewarn you, I'm extremely skeptical of our initiative petition process. So maybe you can improve it. I just don't know.
Me too. Well, you know, and I'll even tell you, and I don't know if you would want to do it this way, but as I gather up my stuff here, you know, the senator from St. Francis is a bit of an expert in this area. He tried to do this several years ago. And, you know, had we had the wisdom to follow his guidance, we probably wouldn't have run into some of the debacles that we did this session. And so,
well, if the senator from St. Francis is involved, I'm even more skeptical.
Well, you know, I shouldn't have said that. Had I thought for just 1 minute before I said that, I wouldn't have mentioned it.
That happens so many times in here, doesn't it?
Yeah,
just
it's one of those.
Think one more second.
When words come out of your mouth and you wish that words were physical things so that you could grab them and pull them back in. Happens to me a lot, yeah. Anyway, basically what this does is it, instead of having to collect signatures in two-thirds of the Senate districts, the congressional districts, it just says that you have to collect signatures from all of the congressional districts. It doesn't change the grand total of how many have to be collected. You know, there might be the difference of two or three, but it does not change with any significance the number of signatures that have to be collected. It just spreads it throughout the state. And one little challenge that's being created as a result of the fact that we lost a congressional seat is that under current law, it says that you have to have two-thirds of the congressional districts represented. And when you have 9 congressional districts, two-thirds, is, even for me, a pretty easy mathematical thing to do, but when you have 8, calculating two-thirds of that could go either way. And I was talking to the senator from Boone about the mathematics of that. So anyway, I don't know if that's exactly the answer you're looking for, but
2/3 of 8 is pretty complicated, huh?
It's very difficult. Very difficult. Yeah.
You know, we just finished this discussion about Prop B, the puppy mill. Where the residents of St. Louis and Kansas City voted overwhelmingly for it. Outstate Missouri, rural Missouri, voted overwhelmingly against it. It ended up passing by 51%, I think. This sounds to me like this is just going to exacerbate that.
Well, I mean, my opinion would be a little bit different than that. I certainly respect your opinion, but I think actually what this might help with would to avoid the kind of situation that we had with Prop B, where you know, we end up having something that's so disparate between different portions of the state, and then the legislature has to become involved and blah blah blah. But my hope would be that if we use this type of initiative petition process, that because all areas of the states of the state would be a little bit more represented in the process, that maybe what would happen is we would have initiative petitions that might be more reflective of the entire state and not put us in a situation like what we had this session.
All right, now you're going to have to walk me through that. So what we're doing is with this resolution, we're taking away the requirement to go through each congressional district, and we're doing it basically on a popular vote, right?
No.
Flash photography is not allowed in the Senate chamber. Please refrain from using flash photography. Senators, continue.
No, actually, Senator, or what it does is it says that each of the congressional districts must be represented, where before, or as it stands right now, you know, two-thirds have to be, you have to collect signatures in two-thirds, and the total amount of signatures is about 150,000. Under this new provision, you would still have about 150,000 signatures, but they would be gathered from all eight of the congressional districts rather than two-thirds.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from the 22nd, for what purpose do you rise? Senator from the 22nd.
Yes. Inquire the senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, although I haven't talked about this on the floor before, I have you have heard you speak about the problems that you have with the initiative petition process and the ability to amend our Constitution.
Yeah, I think right now, Senator, that obviously direct democracy is an important tool that we should never take away from the citizens of the people of Missouri in any way, shape, or form. But I do think right now that it is too easy to amend our Constitution.
To amend our U.S. Constitution, you probably know better than me, but I think you need two-thirds of Congress. You need it ratified by two-thirds of all the states before we can change our United States Constitution.
Yeah, they've specifically
set up... For us to change the state Constitution, it's the same as just a referendum that changes our statutes. It doesn't rise to a higher level.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we can get it out of this chamber, or out of this, I'm sorry, General Assembly with just a simple majority.
Right. And in a simple majority of the voters
exactly.
of Missouri to change our Constitution.
Exactly.
Did you look at this resolution?
Yeah, I did look at it, and I'm excited because I think that it's a step in the right direction.
Okay.
I actually have a couple of things that I wanted to discuss with the chamber today and see if we could maybe talk about some potential amendments because I do think we're moving in the right direction.
The part where it changes from 8% to 5 1/4%, that's reflective of the loss in a congressional seat?
Well, what they were doing there is, when this resolution was first introduced in the House, all it did was say that you have to collect the signatures in all congressional districts,
okay.
which is the same thing that I filed on this side.
At 8% of the voters
at
in
the
each
existing,
congressional
district. Right.
Okay.
There was a significant amount of pushback on that. And so what they did in the House is they offered some amendments that basically said, okay, we're going to do all eight congressional districts, but we're going to lower the number of signatures per congressional district that have to be gathered. And so I've got an amendment being drafted right now that would actually take that back up and
Good.
Then also discuss the situation of paying folks per signature for collecting signatures, because I think that's another problem that we have in this state.
Okay. I like your First Amendment a lot. I'm not sure yet about your second one.
And that's fine. And that's just, it's something that I just think this is a huge deal.
It is a huge deal.
And I think we need to spend a lot of time discussing it as a body. I think we need to, as a state,
I'd be curious to know, in the history of Missouri, how many times our Constitution has been amended? And then within the last 10 years, how many times our Constitution
has been? Oh, it's got to be enormous. I mean, this thing is being treated as a statute book and not as a Constitution. I've said that I'm getting nervous that the senator from the first is going to have back problems soon because he's going to have to carry around this thing that is so huge.
It'll weigh as much as Bob Priddy's book.
That's okay. So I think the other piece of this that's been kind of interesting is the senator from...
God bless you.
The 24th and I have briefly discussed, as have some folks over in the House, the idea that we also may need to look at a piece, and I know it couldn't be a part of this, but as a total package, we need to talk about...
Once
how,
the voters spoke?
Yeah, once they've spoken, how quickly... Can we as a legislature change what they've done? Now, I think we need to have the ability to make changes
to
any law.
That might be out of the scope of this bill because
I think that in reality that would create two different issues, and this is a constitutional.
That's a referendum to our statutes. This is a constitutional change that we really can't touch. It's funny that this bill will go to the voters and be put in our constitution. But
I know the thing that's so ridiculous about everything that we're talking about, how it's too easy to amend the Constitution. In order to make it a little bit harder, of course, we're going to have to amend the Constitution to get to that point.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're back on the motion of the Senator from Franklin. Senator from...
Yes, to inquire the Senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th. Do you yield to the Senator from St. Francis?
I do.
I'm not holding up your amendments, are you? You've got a capable
person. No, that we're working on it. I've got one amendment.
Well, I appreciate you talking. I want to talk about a couple of things. I don't think that you talked with the Senator from Jefferson about the enormity of this. And 4 or 5 years ago, I talked about this. And you talked about the speeding up the process. You know, not most states, but a lot of states don't allow for initiative petition at all. I'm not for that. But when the initiative petition was met in our Constitution, when something was so outrageous that the people wanted to speak, not the people wanted to be bugged outside of Walmart by somebody that was getting paid to get their signature, that didn't care about the issue, that can say anything they want, and they can put just about anything they want as the description of what they're voting on, and they can put multiple things on there. What do you want? You're against abusing puppies, aren't you? You're for this, you're for that, and they, as long as they can do that, it's going to be abused.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I held this up is the other thing is I tried to do this a few years ago. I tried to make it more difficult. And I got there, and a guy named Ron Calzone, who is like a lobbyist but not a lobbyist, he comes in on everything, he lobbies people, but he doesn't report to the ethics. I don't know why or how or what, but at the time, he was... He didn't like it because he thought it would hurt the conservatives because he was trying to do the Confederate flag and he was trying to do the against the eminent domain and things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tried to do this and you know what he did to me? He called Elliot Davis to blindside me down here.
Wow.
Because I was taking the power from the people of Missouri and I was making it difficult for them to put stuff on the ballot. Well, if we're going to do that and put it on the ballot, why don't we take every issue, every bill that we have, and let everybody vote on everyone every year.
We could do it like American Idol. People could just sit at home with their
TV on. And vote with
their
phones or something.
They could have their phones. They could just have, you know, a cold beverage and cast
their vote. You're making our Constitution up that way.
Exactly.
That's one of the biggest things. I'm one of the few senators, even though Right to Life has me rated lower than Joan Bray, who wanted federally funded abortions, and I might add has been trying to get the pregnancy resource thing, even though they... Anyway, we got a lot of problems with Missouri Right to Life. The other years, one of the reasons I went around and opposed it is because we were putting it in our Constitution. And now we put things in our Constitution like it's nothing.
Exactly.
So we need to make it tougher. And now my close friend Ron Calzone figures out that the liberals might have figured this out, and anybody with a couple million bucks and enough people to go out and buy the votes, the signatures, I should say, and then run ad campaign can change the law any way they want. We shouldn't be allowed to change our Constitution that easily.
You're and absolutely right.
I like the fact that we're going to go to every congressional district. It will keep, in my opinion, not great because we're still going to have some abuses, but it will make it more difficult to have Prop B where it appeals to one side of the state but not the other. It appeals to the inner cities but not the outstate because you have to have the signatures and all. I don't know why we're lowering the percentage, though, because I think still should have the same percentage of voters. 5% or whatever is not unreasonable. to change your Constitution to get 5% of the voters' signatures doesn't seem to be outrageous when it's to change the Constitution.
Exactly. And Senator, you're right. And I think this is something that most of us, regardless of political ideology, can agree on, because it just takes a well-funded individual or group, regardless of where they are on the political spectrum or regardless of what their agenda is, and they can go out there and they can fund the signature acquisition, and then they can fund the campaign to get it on the ballot.
Well, that's one of the difficult things why I'm disappointed we didn't get local control taken care of, because I think one of our citizens that has millions of dollars is going to fund a campaign to put the local control back to the city of St. Louis without the safeguards that we had in this bill, without the protection of the pension, without the protection of the rights, without the residency protections that we had in the bill that we agreed to but has been held hostage. He's going to be able to go out and do an initiative petition, put a couple million bucks up for ads. Who's going to raise money to advertise against it, and then pass whatever he wants?
And once again, the entire state of Missouri will be voting on this issue when, frankly, it affects two municipalities.
Right, and Kansas City, I should have said, that will be involved in that, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's what I am told. And I mean, and we haven't even discussed local control of the Kansas City Police Department. Our situation is actually completely different than St. Louis's situation.
Well, you know, I'll give you another example. The owner of Overstock.com,
that's right,
a few years ago came in and wanted to do a petition that was not, I don't even remember what it exactly did, but he was bound and determined, that was his issue, and he was willing to spend $10 million in Missouri to get it on the ballot, pay for the signatures, pay to have it put in the counties, and it affected, he didn't want to go through, I met with him, I said, why don't we do a bill, put a statute that will correct this problem? I don't want to correct this problem. It was, oh, I know what it was, it was on movement of his stock, short selling his stock. And rather than going through the SEC, he wanted to, that's why he came to me, because I was at the time the only broker, licensed broker in the two bodies. Instead of going to the SEC and nationally doing, he was going to go state by state, the ones that had initiative petitions, and just put it on the ballot and pay the money to put it on the ballot to keep from his stock pricing being manipulated. Well, that's all well and good, but if he was willing to put the $10 million, I had no doubt it would have been one of 20 initiative petitions that year, and it would have been worded enough that the people wouldn't have understood it. And by the time that your average voter gets and votes for the president, the vice president, the Senate, the congressman, the local ballots, and gets down initiative petitions when they're this long, they're not going to pay that close. Oh, yeah, they said to vote yes on 6. You know, because that's what the ad said, yes on 6. Okay, yes on 6. That's about the extent of the thought that most of them have on these initiative petitions.
You're right.
Why should somebody come in from California and change our Constitution because he didn't like what was being manipulated with his company's stock price?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We received testimony in our committee, your committee, on elections, that one of the reasons we need to get rid of these little party emblems is because there's no room on our ballots anymore, because it's filled up with all this stuff that people are putting on the ballot. And at some point, we're going to get into a huge problem. I mean, just look at California. I mean, they have so many citizen-led initiative petitions on the ballot that they are hamstrung. I don't even know why they need a legislature anymore.
I don't know. They pay them $160,000 apiece, though. I do know that they're legislature.
But
you're right. And the thing is, most people say, well, I want the other issues to have to jump these hurdles, but I want it to be easy for my issue to change the Constitution. I don't want it to be easy for the other people's. That's not the way it is. We have to have a level where the voice of the people through initiative petition process rises up and says, yes, we have to change this. And it will be easy without somebody paying me to get signatures, because this is so outrageous, to get 5% of the people in each congressional district to at least put it on the ballot and bring it home. And I think that you're making your way toward that. I think we should continue to work toward that. Then if you make that standard so high, then you can go back and do what you were talking about a few minutes ago. And then if everybody achieves that standard, changes the Constitution, then we shouldn't be allowed to change it and change that decision for at least a period of time. But I told the media, the senator from Polk didn't want to take calls after we passed it. So I was on TV, and I remember Charles Jayko says to me, he says, well, Senator, do you really think that you know more than 51% of the people of the state of Missouri? And I said, yes. And he's freaking. Well, what are you saying? I said, well, I'd be willing to bet that the vast majority of the people did not read any more than the title. I'd be willing to bet that the vast majority have never went to a properly run breeding operation. I'd be willing to bet that most of the people don't know that by putting that limit on it, you've actually will force some people to lose their homes and their farms and everything else, that they've already taken a mortgage to build these facilities. I'd be willing to bet that they didn't even know they put any money in there for enforcement, You know, and well, he says, well, I still think you should go with the will of the people. I said, well, let me ask you this, Charles. What if Rupert Murdoch gets ticked off at you and decides to have an initiative petition in Missouri, pays for the signatures because he said these liberals are destroying the media, and I think we should only have two TV stations in each market. And Charles, yours is third or fourth. What if the people vote for 51% to shut your station down? Should I just go ahead and go with it? Because Rupert Murdoch said it was so, and the people paid for the signatures, and we should just close Channel 2 down because it's not in the top two stations, and you guys are liberal anyway? Should that be? Well, that's different. How's that different? The people spoke by 51%, an overwhelming, oh, wait a second, 51%. You know, and people don't understand, we should make these standards high, so the purpose of initiative petition, that the people are so outraged about some subject matter that they are willing to go through these steps to change our Constitution, not lightly, but with thought, so that everybody in the community knows, oh yes, we're going to get a chance to vote on this issue. Not, what's the seventh one down that has two paragraphs and I don't know what it is, oh I guess I'll vote for it and we'll change the Constitution. Once we set those level, the level that was meant to be for initiative petition, then we can talk about whether we should go against that vote. Because I think then, and only then, after we've made it to where the people have truly spoken and knew that what they were talking about, should we have the opportunity to change that vote.
I really appreciate that. That is something that I hadn't even thought of as far as the timing was concerned. But you're right. If we raise the bar to the point where the people have truly spoken, where they have come out and they have, through a true grassroots effort, gotten folks out and gotten them in to vote, and they have changed the Constitution and people really knew what they were talking about, then and only then should we be talking about not changing. And that I truly appreciate that.
There's got to be a balance.
There's got to be a balance.
If you're going to, one, like I said, I think 15 states don't even have initiative petition because they fear that the people will change their state's constitution without just cause. I'm not to that point. And I think that if our standards are so low where you can go to Walmart parking lot and get the initiative, here, well, I want to bug you. I don't want to bug you. Just sign you're against abusing puppies, aren't you? Right here. Sign right here. That is not the initiative process that I believe our forefathers thought through. They thought that it was something that the people felt so strongly about that they would unite and put on the ballot and go around the legislature. And I think if you do that or help do that, then we'll make it a lot tougher to override that, because I don't think that we can treat our Constitution this way, that we can put 10 and 15 things. And that's what's going to be. If we don't change something, in the next 5 to 10 years, there will be 10 to 15 items every year that we can pick and choose your Constitution on.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to a radio report last year about California, and they have some constitutional requirements about how much money has to be spent on education. And then there was a citizen-led movement to also amend the Constitution that said a certain amount of money had to be spent on after-school programs. And they had, and then they're in this horrible mess because they've got to spend so much money on after-school programs that they don't have any money for the during school programs.
No, they've got conflicting constitutional amendments on their own,
no
the same
sense.
Balance. That one that says you must spend this much, one that says you can't spend this much, you can't tax real estate this much, but you must give 6 months paid leave to a newborn mother. Paid leave. That, you know, so that they can bond. Now, you may be for that or not, but you then on the other side of that ballot, you can't put, but when you can't raise our real estate taxes, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, Senator, the reality is that I'm going to like some of the things that have been done over the past few years. I liked the stem cell amendment. I liked the puppy mill bill. I didn't like the earnings tax. I didn't like, you know, whatever else. I mean, the reality is that it works both ways.
It does, and the bar needs to be set for standard higher, and I just hope they don't clone you because you're very articulate and very liberal. So
Did you say articulate and liberal?
Yeah. that's a dangerous combination.
Well, Senator, I mean, I think that...
Do you have your amendment ready?
I have an amendment drafted. It's being copied and distributed right now.
All right. Well, then I think I've stalled enough.
Thank you, Senator.
I could go, because I'm prepared to, and I probably will sometime today, talk about Senate Bill, 302. that didn't get a hearing and we're probably going to talk about. So I'm waiting for something that really needs to be filibustered, but I'm not prepared to filibuster this. So at any time, we may hear about 302 since I couldn't get a hearing. So I figured today would be a good day to do it.
It's
That's
always
a great piece of legislation.
Good day to
I don't know, but
down.
It needs to be vetted. It could be a terrible piece, but since we can't even get it heard, we'll probably talk about it on the floor. You got your bill now?
I do.
Or your amendment now? Thank
yep.
you.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 10th.
I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
Mr. President, it is being distributed as we speak. I request a waiver of its reading, and I will not close on the amendment until it has been distributed to everybody.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you like to move for the adoption and explain your amendment?
I would like to do that, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move for the adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this amendment is going to cause, I think, a little bit of discussion, and I think that's good because I think this is a big, big change in the way we do things here in the state of Missouri, and I think we need to be having this conversation, and if we need to have it for a long time, I'm really not trying to slow this bill down. This bill actually is almost mirrors one that I filed also and had a hearing very early in session, and to kind of underline a point that the senator from St. Francis and I just had, you could tell that this is an issue that affects both the left and the right, because when I had my bill, the two people who came to testify against it, it was the group that represents Rex Singfeld, and it was the ACLU, and those were the only two witnesses who testified against my bill. So I was well covered as far as who was opposed to my bill. So when you've got that sort of opposition, you know that this issue really affects everybody across the political spectrum. So what my amendment does, Mr. President, that's being distributed right now, is first of all, it takes the HJR 16, which is on our desks, and it removes the lowering of the percentages, and it takes it back to what the Constitution says right now on the percentage. And if I could have my staff or somebody send to me the HJR 16 that I loaned during the process. Thank you. It takes it back to 8%, and I guess it takes it back to 8% and 5% for the number of signatures that you have to get per congressional district. And then it also says that the petitions are deemed invalid if signature gatherers are paid per signature. And this does not say you can't pay signature gatherers, because of course, if you are going to go out there and hire folks to do signature gathering, that's perfectly acceptable. But what it says is you can't pay per signature. The reason I'm doing this is, as we all know, there are well-funded folks on every issue that we've talked about here today who have gone out, and in order to get signatures, they've either used volunteers, people who are passionate about an issue, or they've paid folks to go out and get the signatures. And sometimes the signature gatherers get $5 per signature. As things start coming down to the wire, the signature price per signature starts to go up. $10 per signature, $15 per signature. And so the concern that I have is you've got folks who are motivated to do some things that are a little bit unscrupulous when they're being paid per signature. If they're being paid by the hour or if they're getting some sort of salary to do it, I think there's a lot less room for abuse. And so that's why I also included that piece in there. I know there's probably going to be a lot of questions about that specific piece, and I think there'll probably be some questions about raising the percentage back up. But I'd be happy to answer any questions, and if there aren't any, I renew my motion.
The senator from the 10th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. The first one I saw seeing recognition was the senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from the 28th.
Senator from the
26th, I'm sorry, 26th.
Senator from Franklin, do you yield to the senator from Buchanan? Senator from Franklin. Do you yield to the senator from Buchanan? He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Hey, Senator.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I've been really twisted over this resolution, not knowing exactly whether to be for it or against it. I have such mixed feelings listening to the senator from St. Francis. He really was moving and kind of swaying me in favor of the resolution, and now I see this. This amendment that's proposed, and you know, there's advantages and disadvantages both ways, and I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on the amendment.
Well, my thoughts specific to the amendment are, you know, I'm probably not going to favor the amendment. I do appreciate what the senator from the 10th is trying to do, and I think a lot, and this is this could be dangerous new territory because this is not a place where she and I would normally find ourselves, but I think I agree with almost everything that the senator from the 10th has had to say. My fear about this amendment, I guess, would really just kind of boil down to two things, and that is, you know, I think we have a flawed system in place right now. I think we have some problems with our system right now as it stands. And you know, 9 years ago when I came into the legislature, I thought that the best way to change things was with broad sweeping change and make big change all at once. And there's probably still some things that I feel that way about. But on this particular issue, because we're talking about something that really does cut both ways. I mean, the flaws in the system that we have right now, just as the senator from the 10th mentioned, have upset people that are to the left, and they've upset people that are to the right. And so as we figure out a way to navigate a fix on this, it would be my opinion, number one, that we need to make the changes, you know, maybe a little more reasonably and a little more slowly. I'm just afraid that with her amendment, you know, we're going to increase the number of signatures total that have to be acquired by quite a bit, okay? And I just think that's too big of a bite of the apple as we try to fix this. I think the fact that we're spreading out the gathering of signatures into all congressional districts as opposed to, you know, two-thirds of the congressional districts, I really do believe that that's going to alleviate a lot of the problems that we have now. And I appreciated her comments on some of the petitions that have happened that we've been happy or not happy with, you know. And so the other thing is, and I don't, you know this, I'm not an attorney, but one of the things throughout the years that I've been in this building that I've heard over and over and over again as this subject has been discussed, and I can't just absolutely verify this, maybe somebody can one way or the other, but I've heard it enough times that I'm beginning to think it's probably true, and that is the idea of making it illegal to pay petition signature gatherers by signature. I've just heard this repeatedly, that has been struck down in federal court many times. That's a provision that cannot hold. And so if that's the case, and we make this change about something that many of us in this body on both sides of the aisle agree needs to be fixed or that we need to begin the process of fixing, then I'm just afraid that we end up doing all this for naught. So I do appreciate what the senator from the 10th is trying to do in concept, but I'm just afraid it goes a little too far, and I won't be able to support the amendment.
You know, I was thinking that just even moving it, you know, even going with your resolution was, at first I was thinking it was too far for me because I myself had been frustrated with getting some what I perceive as very popular and good things through the legislature because of the fact that the special interests are so powerful. And, you know, if we could eliminate corporate campaign contributions, I think that would probably do more to fix the problems that I perceive than anything. But I think that the reason that the people did the puppy mill thing was just frustration with getting the legislature to listen. And they were frustrated, and that's why they did the initiative petition thing. I felt the same things, and I'd like to give you some examples. Any willing provider polls 90%. People want to be able to select their own healthcare provider. But, and in fact, a couple, 3 years ago, it passed the House on the last day, 118-25. But yet, the special interest insurance companies, hospitals, they are so powerful that to stop it, it never gets a chance. It never gets heard, never gets referred. And I've always been kind of hopeful that maybe someday there would be an initiative petition, and I hated to see I hated to see it more difficult for that to happen. You know, that's just one example of, and of course the things that I'm interested in are medically related. Another one would be the getting rid of the certificate of need, which is a socialistic program that stops construction of new facilities. And I believe it limits competition. And I've always been hopeful maybe, you know, the initiative petition process might be a way around the legislature when the powerful special interests stop good legislation. But then when I listened to the senator from St. Francis, he was kind of convincing. And so I was thinking, you know, maybe going to this 5 1/4 and 3 1/4 might not be so bad in all of the districts. But now this amendment would not only make it that you have to do all the districts, but it would make you go back to that 5 8%. And so everything has advantages and disadvantages. You know, it's kind of like when you just sit down and you decide to play Monopoly. It's okay as long as everybody knows what the rules are. And so whatever the rules are, I'm sure we can live up with them and deal with them, but it's kind of like the way it is now is here. The way that you've proposed moves it a little bit, but this amendment moves it a lot farther. I'd much rather go with the way you had it than with the amendment, I think. Because I just, like you said, I think just, I don't want to move it a lot. I want to make a little change.
Well, I think this is one of those issues where we just have to be very, very careful to not swing the pendulum too far. You know, there's a fine balance with this. And like I said, this the problem that we have right now has cut both ways. And I'm just afraid that swinging the pendulum too far on this particular issue is not the thing to do.
Well, I think I would vote for the resolution without the amendment. But if the amendment goes on, I don't think I would vote for the resolution. I think it would move it too far for me. And it all stems out of my frustration with the power of special interests and the need for the people to go around the legislature and those special interest effects. And so that's why I think I'd take the position that that's where I am now.
Sure. So. Well, I appreciate that. Well, and I, you know, as I said, I don't look at this as a hostile amendment. I think that the senator from the 10th is doing something in good faith here. I just don't agree with changing it this far. I think she and I are in agreement that the process as it is right now does need to be adjusted or shifted. I just think this probably goes a little too far.
Okay. Thank you for your inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Green.
President, to inquire the senator from Franklin.
Senator from Franklin, do you yield? He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, thank you for the inquiry. The senator from 10th was discussing the various and sundry elements that were opposed to this legislation when she presented it as a bill. And yesterday, I believe you and I were talking about something that was a little bit different, but you used a word. You're a very accomplished sesquipedalian, and you used a word that it just came to me might actually describe that opposition on both. I cannot recall what that word was.
Oh.
It sounded like, I just remember it sounded like a radio terminology of
it
some
does.
Sort.
It was, stereotensionist.
Stereotensionist.
Stereotensionist. Yeah, this is an issue that is stereotensionist.
Okay. Well,
because it's both sides are, you know, stereo means, you know, sound coming from more than one place. And
so the tension, you know, is coming from both sides.
I'm very impressed with your level of studiousness, that you would pick up on a new word, remember it, and then try to use it the next day.
I do attempt to be a good understudy, again, of those who are given to sesquipedalic orthography. And I know that you've diligently worked on composing those words. I just wanted to bring that up before the body. Thank you.
Well, and I want to make sure that we don't get into the area where we're being a bit perpiquacious with each other, because that I think
might be a little halitosis. Thank you.
Senator from the first, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire the senator from the 10th?
Senator from the 10th, do you yield? She yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. You know, a lot of those words that they were, you know, throwing back and forth aren't really words.
Were they not?
No.
I'm a simple girl. I grew up in Branson, Missouri. I'm a simple girl from Branson, Missouri, and those words are lost on me, Senator.
Yeah, so. I went right over my head. Hey, Senator, I just have a few brief questions about your amendment. Before I go there, this is an issue. I got to be honest with you. This is an issue that I've been torn on the last couple of years.
Me
you
too.
Know, a couple of the things that you talked about as far as, yeah, they're always going to be, you know, initiative petitions that we like,
yeah,
you know, and that we support, and then there are going to be those that we don't.
Exactly.
And quite frankly, I'm about to say something that'll probably get me in trouble with, you know, those on the right and those on the left and all the people in the middle, you know. But, you know, I do that a lot.
Sure.
You know, the interesting thing about this issue is that in the Constitution, the people actually reserved this right to themselves.
Yes.
And I know I handled a bill similar to this a couple of years ago. And,
yep.
And I think that a lot of the provisions that were in there, you know, probably were too big of a change, you know, like a lot of the stuff that I do, you know. And I think that you actually got up and you know, said, maybe we're going a little too far, you know, as far as that power that we're taking away from the people, you know. But, you know, again, you know, if you go to Article 3, Section 49, it says that the people reserve this power to act independently of the General Assembly. And they reserve that power unto themselves. It's on page 58,
yeah.
Article 49. Now, here's where I'm going to get myself in trouble. Are you familiar with the term tyranny of the majority?
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of like that the stuff that goes on the other side of the building. You know,
well, you know, Senator, I don't want to interrupt, but I just read on Twitter, actually, that we've been called today legislative terrorists on our side of the building. And I don't know about you. I think this is more of a civics class than a terrorist activity. But that.
Right.
Just, all right.
Right.
All right. And yes. Tyranny of the majority. I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. And again, I mean, that's the people's house on the other side.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, this is, you know, directly or maybe indirectly, I mean, you know, really is, you know, a snapshot, you know, of you know, really the genius of our founding fathers.
Yes.
In the idea of making government move slowly.
Yes.
And you know, some of the frustrations I heard from the senator from the Buchanan in that, you know, sometimes it takes years and years and years to get something through this body, and it is frustrating.
I
mean,
it's
frustrating for all of us,
it is.
Right? You know, one of those issues, you know, the senator from the 14th and I are very passionate about this year. And people have been saying for years they've been trying to get local control for the city of St. Louis. Okay. I think that our founding fathers were petrified of the tyranny of the majority. And that's why they gave us a republic. Now, where I'm torn is the idea that in the Missouri Constitution, the people have reserved this power unto themselves.
Yes.
Right? And as the senator from St. Francis said, there are about 15 states that don't even have the initiative petition.
Exactly.
Right? So, I guess to get back to your amendment, because I had to kind of get that off my chest. I mean, I think it should be hard to change our Constitution. I think it should be hard to change our statutes.
Yes.
I don't think, whether it's a guy on the right with real deep pockets or a guy or individual on the left with
exactly.
real deep pockets.
Exactly.
I don't think the process should be easy. I don't think they should be able to buy a change to our statute or a change to our Constitution.
I agree.
I fought very hard. You and I were on opposite sides of an issue a couple of years ago where a guy decided to spend $30 million of his own money all right, to change our Constitution.
Yep.
Okay? I think it should be very, very difficult to pass a law. I think it should be very, very difficult to change our Constitution. So I guess my question with your amendment is, if this amendment would have been in place a couple of years ago, do you think that it would have made it more difficult for those that wanted to change our Constitution to protect embryonic stem cell research, or those that wanted to do the puppy mill, you know, the puppy thing? I mean, does it make it tougher or easier, your amendment?
You know what I think it does? I think it makes it more expensive.
Okay.
I don't think it makes it tougher to amend the Constitution, because people can get more money.
Right.
And so the reason why I brought up this amendment in such a broad form today is I knew it would generate a lot of discussion. And my desire is to, as a body, not today, to come up with what you and I are talking about, which is a balance between the direct democracy that our citizens have reserved for themselves and what you and I have discussed, which is it should be hard to pass a law.
Right.
It should be hard. I mean, think how hard it is to get the simplest law through this. I mean, think about your Melville fix from yesterday. I mean,
right.
It took how many years to get that thing done?
Right, right.
It should not be easier than that for citizens who are independently wealthy or collectively wealthy to just buy a law and go around this process.
Right.
It should be hard for everybody. Because I think you and I would agree, and I think the senator from the 26th and I would agree, that it does the state no good for us to rapidly pass a bunch of laws. I don't know if it was Mark Twain or who it was that said, nobody's life, liberty, or property is safe while the legislature is in session.
Exactly.
And I think that's something that a lot of us in this chamber can agree with.
Right.
And so what I would like to do is have a broader conversation, because I think all my amendment does is make it more expensive.
Right.
And
so in that regard, then, Senator, just as we have dialogue here, so if it makes it more expensive, it makes it more expensive for the guys with the really deep pockets, which they'll just have to dig a little deeper in their pocket. But for the normal Joe, I would think by making it more expensive, then you make it harder.
And that's okay? Why I hate that's why I'm so torn.
Yeah.
That's why I'm conflicted.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I first rolled out my version of HJR 16 earlier in the year, you know, there were op-ed pieces at all these newspapers and television stations around the state saying that I was trying to take away the right of the little guy to amend the Constitution or to petition their government. And now, of course, that was completely bogus, because it was the rich guy placing the op-eds in all of the the newspapers and the television stations. But I'm not. That fact's not lost on me. I don't want to take away the grassroots, efforts of folks who have done things that I'm sure maybe you didn't agree with, like the minimum wage, for instance. I don't know where you were on that one, but that's an example of a true grassroots. No one paid for it, and the reality is that I think it's going to be incredibly difficult for those types of folks to get stuff on the ballot if they want to. So what I would like to do is I would like to get to a point where we as a General Assembly can come up with something that makes it harder while respecting the right that our citizens have reserved for themselves in the Constitution. And so that's why I wanted to have this sort of conversation today in this civics class today. I don't want this bill to pass today, I've decided. And it's not because I don't like the idea. I do like the idea. I filed the thing myself. I don't think we are ready yet as a General Assembly with what our fix looks like. I think we need a lot more discussion. I think we need a lot more research, a lot more debate. Just kind of sliding it through on the last day of session is probably not a great idea.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I'm looking at here? This is an initiative petition that was filed with the Secretary of State yesterday by a group called Healthy Missouri Initiative Petition. That's
okay.
The name of the petition, I guess. And it looks like, the way I read this, that got a group of tobacco manufacturers that aren't happy that we've been unable to accomplish through the legislative process an issue that's important to them. So they're going to introduce they have introduced an initiative petition to go to the people that will actually levy a tax against their competitors.
What?
$1 a pack.
Oh.
On cigarettes, which then I guess that'll be paid into a fund to address the inequity that some tobacco manufacturers feel is in place because of a master settle agreement they got into a long time ago. Interesting. Listen to this language, Senator. This is the language that is proposed to go on the ballot. It says, the revenues generated by the supplemental tax in subsection 1 shall be deposited in the Healthy Missouri Fund and be used solely to fund tobacco education in Missouri, fund tobacco cessation programs in Missouri, and number 3, fund enforcement and administration of the Master Settlement Agreement by the Attorney General. And then it goes on to talk about non-participating manufacturers. Here's an example, Senator, of some deep, deep pockets.
So this is big tobacco, probably.
Big tobacco taking on small tobacco. And because they can't get satisfaction through the legislative process, they're going to go directly to the people so that they can legislate a level playing field with their competition.
And unfortunately, as we've discussed, the ballot's going to be so full that folks are going to look at that and they're going to see Healthy Missourians and they're going to see tobacco tax and they're going to think, this is good. We're really going to stick it to big tobacco. But if I haven't, of course, seen what you have in front of you, but if in fact it is what, you know, what it purports to be, then it could be quite possibly, Senator, that we're actually doing the work of big tobacco by passing something that people think is actually sticking it to big tobacco. See, that's what
right.
The problem is.
That's exactly
that
right.
Is exactly
yeah.
What the problem is.
Yeah.
Is it's and it's just a simple majority that they would need to pass this. Am I correct?
Right.
I mean, we have got to get this under control. We have got to get it under control. And I don't think that HJR 16, with or without the amendment that I've circulated, is the whole answer. And I'm not comfortable saying that it's a good start, because I think that if we shove this through this year and it gets voted on, we may never get the opportunity to again to discuss something bigger.
What I'm starting to figure out, Senator, is that in having these discussions, we can have elected leaders that are totally on different ends of the spectrum as far as ideology.
Sure.
But have some of the same goals. You know, and maybe we can all sit down and say, how do we make this process more just and really embrace the spirit, you know, of what our founders wanted at the federal level? And I think it was a senator from Jefferson that talked about how difficult earlier on in the debate it is to change our U.S. Constitution. And, you know, maybe we don't need to be there, but maybe we ought to continue to have these conversations on do we want to, I mean, look at this Missouri Constitution. It reads like a statute book.
I know.
Look how thick this thing is.
Did you hear earlier, Senator, I'm worried that if it gets much bigger that you're going to start having back problems.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to be able to carry it around.
You can't even fit it in your coat pocket anymore. Now you're going to have like a special wheelie suitcase to haul this thing around. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is. Senator, thank you very much for the inquiry.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from the 14th was the first one I saw seeking recognition.
I'd like to inquire of the Senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, do you yield to the Senator from the 14th?
I do.
Senator, she does. Senator, proceed.
Thank you. Senator, you've been talking about special interests that get involved in elections, and I know we've been texting back and forth, and I've had this background research on my desk all session long that I've been waiting to use. And this seems like the perfect opportunity to talk about some of the special interest in our state.
Well, Senator, I just want to interrupt you for just a minute. I'm not, I don't want to, you know, shut down the inquiry, but I have to tell you, this discussion that we're having out here today, I really would like personally to limit it to the substance of direct democracy and trying to amend the Constitution. If you want to, you know, talk about individual folks out there who have that you've got background research on, I'd feel free to have you kind of just speak on the amendment or speak on the bill, but I feel uncomfortable right now.
Well, what I will say is you've mentioned a couple of things today in your discussion, and you know, I'll go ahead and speak on this, but I think it's worthy to talk about special interests. And the senator from the first was very specific about special interests that just filed in an affidavit or something with the Secretary of State's office. But I'm going to go ahead and talk about this because I think that this conversation needs to be had. I've been saving up for this all session long, and so I'd like to have this
conversation.
Absolutely.
You still have the floor,
Mr. President.
Yes.
I would like to speak on this amendment.
Proceed.
There's been a conversation today about special interest groups that are in the state, and I'm looking at some information on one of them, the Show Me Institute. In the Los Angeles Times on December 30th, 2005, there's an article that talks about how Rex Singfield was leaving the Dimensional Fund Advisors to found the Show Me Institute, which would focus on public policy. It's interesting who is on the board of the Show Me Institute, and everyone knows how popular the Show Me Institute has been in Missouri politics. You have the former CEO of UMB Financial. You have CEOs from a lot of national companies, Hunter Engineering, Forshaw, Springfield Underground, Shannon County Circuit Court, people from all over the place, really, who have special interests. And when you look at the amount of money that this particular special interest has put into not only federal elections, but also state elections, it's amazing. The number, I have about 30 pages here, My Job, My Wage, with several different committees in there. There is here's the federal side of things. I think it says Rex Singfield gave $1.52 million in federal campaign contributions since 1992. And then he was a big supporter for several of those who were in the Tea Party. And this is the kind of special interest that we don't need in the state. When you look at the local investments, it is also millions of dollars. I'm looking at an assessment from October of last year, and literally millions upon millions of dollars have been spent. We know that $10 million or more was used to move the earnings tax in St. Louis City and St. Louis County. Now, when we move on to some of the interests that these people have with the Show Me Institute, they want to replace the state income tax with the sales tax. We know there has been legislation filed as to that effect. Let's see, opposed to economic development tax credits. We know that there has been legislation filed on that. School choice survey sparked controversy. That started in 2007. We know how much legislation has been filed on that. Opposed to a Missouri minimum wage increase. That's something that the senator brought up from the 10th just earlier. It says here that in October 2006, the Kansas City Star reported that Rex Singfield and members of the Show Me Institute held a press conference in Kansas City to urge the defeat of a proposal on the November ballot to raise the minimum wage from $5.15 an hour to $6.50. The Kansas City Star reported the Show Me Institute representatives countered that the state proposal would be particularly harmful to rural Missouri businesses that don't pay the wage scales of the metro areas. Then you have one of the first reports issued by the Show Me Institute challenged the St. Louis earnings tax. In March 2006, not 2010, but 2006, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported that the Show Me Institute would publish a study from University of Missouri-Columbia economics professor Joseph Haslag, stating that the St. Louis earnings tax led to the decline of St. Louis. Singfield told the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, "We're not saying the earnings tax is the only cause, but we're saying it's a major cause." That was in the Post-Dispatch batch in 2006. And then we can go on to other interests that the Show Me Institute has been engaged in, which is, as I stated, is run by Rex Singfield, who is the billionaire in the state of Missouri, who is not only buying off policy, but he's taking away our individual rights as a democratic nation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Back on the motion of the Senator from the 10th. Senator from Franklin, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. If I might inquire of the Senator from the 10th.
Sergeant-at-Arms, please find the Senator from the 10th, who is on her phone outside the line. Senator from the 10th, you yield to Senator from Franklin.
I do.
Thank you for yielding. You know, Senator, this is dangerous territory for you and I, because I think we are very much overwhelmingly in agreement about this whole subject. I think we're just a little off on the fine-tuning of it.
Sure.
But I did want to mention to you, you'd said something about not being real familiar with big words.
Yeah.
You know what they call a person who is very adept when it comes to big words?
What's that?
No, this is real. I just looked it up. It's a sesquipedalian.
Ah, sesquipedalian.
That could be the word for the day.
Excellent.
Sesquipedalian. Since we're talking about an issue that is stereotensionous. Anyway, I wanted to tell you that I do oppose your amendment, but
sure.
I wanted to just ask you specifically, you know, I've heard a million times during my tenure here in the legislature that the idea of paying per signature has been struck down. Tell me what you know about that.
I'm speaking completely in foreign territory right now. I thought that was okay. What was not okay was banning people from out of state collecting signatures.
And I've heard both.
Okay.
I've heard
and
both.
I hadn't heard that second piece, but I have to tell you, this is just one of those issues that's been rattling around in my brain and I haven't done a major amount of research on yet. And
sure.
That's why I kind of feel like today maybe isn't the best day for getting this done. Because I really feel like, when I talked with the senator from the first, that in addition to the issue of making this more expensive, that we need to talk about maybe raising the bar. And I'm fearful that if we have this discussion today, that we may never have the other discussion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I will tell you that you know, I agree with you on that particular aspect, and that I personally would be willing to work with you. I think the senator from the first would be willing to work with you on that. And, of course, none of us can ever guarantee that if we don't do something today, that it will get done
sure.
in the future. Nobody knows that better than me, because I tend to have legislation that maybe stirs the pot just a little bit.
You?
And so I'm a little bit concerned about that, because, and again, I don't, you know, I try to stand up here in the Senate well, and if I say that I know something for sure, I like for people to feel confident
yep.
that I really do know that for sure. And and when I don't know something for sure, I try to be intellectually honest and say I don't know that for sure. So here's what I'm getting at. The idea of the per signature portion of this, I really do think gets us into some muddy water where we could be talking about something that has already previously been struck down. I think that the, you know, raising the bar, I think we do raise the bar with HJR 16 because of the fact that it spreads out where the signatures
sure.
have to come from. And I'm just afraid, and you know, you and I haven't had an opportunity to debate a lot. You know, this is just my first year over here.
Sure.
But I hope that one of the things that you'll learn about me as the years go by and we serve together. How many years do you have left?
I have three more.
Okay. So over the next 3 years, I hope you'll learn about me that even though we may not agree on an issue, I will always try to be intellectually honest and sincere in what I'm doing. And so I will tell you, in all sincerity, that I'm afraid that the level to which you raise the bar is going to hurt the little guy. And I don't like big special interest groups being able to come in and buy statute or whatever.
Sure.
I totally agree. And so anyway, I just wanted to have a sincere conversation with you because I didn't want you to feel
sure.
like, hey, I'm just going to get up and oppose your amendment because
no.
I'm just going to oppose
it. I appreciate
it.
And I recognized when I drafted this amendment as one lump sum that it was going too far. I recognize that. Senator, the reality is that I wanted to have the conversation that we've had here on the floor. This has been something that I talk about nonstop when I'm not in the Capitol. It's something that I've talked to school groups about. It's something that I teach in the law school class that I work, you know, teach at in the fall. I mean, the reality is that we need to have this discussion. It's, as the senator from the 11th said, it's a really, really, really big deal. I mean, it's huge. It's a big vote. It's a big
and
vote.
I agree. I do. And I'm glad that we've had this conversation.
And I am too. And Senator, I think that you'll find over the next 3 years that you and I probably agree on a whole lot more things than you would ever imagine.
Well, you know what? Just the other day, I was on Facebook, and you and I have a familiar Facebook friend. Used to live in Missouri, now lives in Texas.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about?
Maybe.
Anyway, so you know, she is very much a constitutionalist, you know, very much of an activist, travels around the country.
Sure.
Da 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 da. And she was saying that you and I are two of her favorite senators.
Well, I think, Senator, it has a lot to
do. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do, actually, now. I do know who you're talking about. And the reality is, Senator, that I think that you and I very much probably are of the mind that we should have less government. That they
Amen.
Should just kind of leave us alone.
Amen.
And I think that, you know, sometimes we're not going to agree on where they should leave us alone, but that's all right.
Sometimes. So,
but, I mean, the reality is that those of us that are of that mind are going to agree probably on more things than we disagree on.
Well, would it even be worth the breath that it would take to ask?
Sure.
For me to ask you that if I was to commit to you, right here in front of God and everybody, that I will continue to work with you on specific, because you just said that this goes too far.
Yeah, so I didn't get to follow up and tell you what I was going to offer.
Oh,
if you'd like to hear. I mean, you know what, let's
but,
make a deal.
But what if you and I were actually allied on something? I mean, you know.
Well, I think
imagine.
We are allied right well, now, so let's
right.
work together. Here's
so
my offer.
So do you have another amendment to the amendment?
I've got a suggestion. What if I withdraw my amendment and then
and we stop right there?
No. Then we reject, or I don't know the terminology, throw out the House Committee substitute and just go back to the original HJR 16 as it was filed and vote it out.
Wow. Okay, you may have lost me for just
okay.
a second. Let me just
sure.
try to see if I understand what
okay.
you're talking about, the original HJR 16.
And I'm gonna tell you straight up what it is. I'm not trying to do any funny business here. The original HJR 16 left the number of signatures that you have to collect the same as it is right now, but it expanded it to all congressional districts.
And it leaves off the part
And
about,
it leaves off the paid per signature stuff, obviously.
Okay, so I have the original, I think. The original House Joint Resolution 16 in my hand.
Okay, we're going to reject the House Committee substitute for House mm-hmm. Joint Resolution 16. Do you have the original or do you have the House Committee substitute?
I have both.
Okay.
I think I have both. Now, you're not luring me into deep water where me, as a brand new senator,
no.
you know, where I'm going to drown and not even know that I've
no.
been led down a primrose path, are you? You're not taking advantage of my lack of experience.
I can do an amendment to do that? Okay, sorry. Had a little parliamentary procedure issue over here. Okay, so I've been told I can't do what I just suggested that we do.
Don't you hate that?
I know.
That's probably another area where you and I agree. I mean, it's like as soon as somebody tells me I can't do something, I want to do it.
I know. Yeah, someone up there in the gallery knows that more than anybody.
Okay, so short of that which cannot be done, is there any way for us to...
Yes, there is. I would offer an amendment. And instead of having the signature language in there relating to petition shall be deemed invalid if signature gatherers are paid for signature, I would take that out. But I would bring it back to the original HJR 16 through an amendment, and instead of saying 5 1/4 percentage, we'd take it back up to 8% of legal voters.
You know, I wish the senator from Cole was here because he's an excellent negotiator. You know how when you're trying to sell a car and you say, I'll take $10,000, sure, and the person says I'll pay $5,000, and then you keep going back and forth.
Let me break it down really, really slow. Okay, so HJR 16, when it was originally filed, all it intended to do was say that you have to gather signatures now in all of the congressional districts, not in two-thirds, but in all of them. And there was opposition to that in the House. And what they said is, if you lower the percentage that we have to get in each congressional district, then we will agree to going to all congressional districts.
That's what the House said?
What the House said. And right. So what I'm saying is, let's take it back to the original HJR 16, which says you have to get them in all the congressional districts, but we're not going to change the Constitution on how many signatures you have to gather. So you're going to have to gather 8% in each congressional district for the constitutional amendment, and then for the initiative petition, you're going to have to get 5% in each congressional district.
So basically what you're saying is your amendment without the paid...
Exactly.
And, you know, I mean, that's not something that I would jump up and down opposed to. Here's my concern.
Sure.
It's the last day of session, and I think it negotiates better to your position than mine, because if the House has already said they don't like that, and then we make that change here, I'm just afraid when it goes back to the House, it's dead, and we get no reform.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that'll happen, because there's some lobbyists circulating.
So see that? You were leading me into the deep water.
No, I'm telling you straight up what it is. I mean, this is what I think would be a good compromise for us. I think the Senate might even pass it out of here. I do think that as it was physically walked from this side to the building to that side of the building, there'd be a bunch of people in white suits chasing after them. I think they're all wearing white today. people in white suits chasing after them saying, don't vote for this change. Because I think those are the folks that want to keep it easy right now to amend the Constitution. And that's why, Senator, and I don't have any doubt that you would continue to work with me over the next 3 years. I don't doubt that at all. I really don't. And I think you will continue to work with me for the next 3 years on this issue. I think the senator from the 1st will. I think the senator from Polk will. I think the senator from 24th will. I think the senator from Boone actually wants to inquire of someone right now. I think there are a whole bunch of people in this chamber who want to work on this issue, and I think that I lose some of the leverage, not with you or anybody else, but some of the leverage with the people in the halls if we pass this year. So,
well, as a sesquipedalian in training, I think instead of just saying there was a whole bunch of people, what you should have said is there's a whole bunch of lot of people.
Yeah.
That will work together. Anyway, I'm probably not going to be able to join arms kumbaya with you on what
Fair
you're
enough.
Trying to do. But as you've said, I appreciate the conversation. I think we're far from done, whether that means far from done today or far from done.
Sure.
Period.
Well, we'll get there.
You know.
We'll get there.
So, all right. Thank you.
Thanks, Senator.
The first one I saw was seeking recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. Inquire from the Senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, do you yield?
I do. Don't you want to inquire, Senator from Boone? You won't stop.
No. I'll be short.
Okay.
Number one, Senator, I was listening to your conversation with the Senator from the 26th. I would agree that this probably shouldn't come out today, or we shouldn't vote this out today. I should let you know I would support this today. I also would support your amendment, because I agree with you that it's way too easy to amend the Constitution. I bet this is my second year. You know my passion's been local control, St. Louis Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm conflicted about this. I get congratulated probably every day through a conversation or an email, just getting both sides in the same room.
Exactly.
And it's been not all my doing. It's been, I've had a lot of people help. And part of it's been the special interests, the people that were fighting. The threat of having an initiative ballot or petition has stimulated both sides to get in the same room and hammer out a deal.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to say that, and I know the senator from Boone is on the edge of his chair, but I just wanted to say there's a good side and a bad side to this. 150 years has been stopped because of this. And I just want to tell you, I will support your petition or your initiative.